हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम श्री महागणपतये नमः ओम गणानां त्वा गणपतिगं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पदां ॐ कात्यायनाय विद्महे कन्याकुमारी धीमहि तन्नो दुर्गः प्रचोदयात् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः The Mandukya Upanishad belonging to Atharva Veda, which we are studying now, presents two enquiries. The two enquiries form the main subject matter of the Upanishad. The first enquiry is enquiry into the Atma or analysis of the Atma Swarupam, which is called Chatushpad Atma Vicharaha. Then the second enquiry presented is Omkara Vicharaha, or enquiry into the Omkaraha. And we have seen the Chatushpad Atma Vicharaha, we have completed, and verse mantra number 3 to mantra number 7, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 5 mantras discuss the Atma Vicharaha, present the enquiry into the Atma. Five mantras discuss the Atma analysis, and the eighth mantra to the end of the mantra, all the rest of the mantras present the Omkara analysis, Omkara Vicharaha. And here, it is very important to know before we enter into the eighth mantra. Today we are supposed to start the eighth mantra. The Atma is presented as the one with four facets called Padaha. And Prathama Padaha, Dvitiya Padaha, Tritiya Padaha and Turiya Padaha are said to be the four facets of Atma. And here, the idea is, we are supposed to go from each pada to the other pada gradually, so that finally we arrive at the Turiya Padaha. Arriving at Turiya Padaha, we will claim the Turiya Pada as myself, as the self I am. That's the idea. Which means, as a Prathama Padaha, who is Prathama Padaha? The consciousness, when you say I, the consciousness obtaining in waking state, associated with the gross universe, is Prathama Padaha, which is the experiencer and the experienced together obtaining in waking state form the Prathama Padaha. Therefore, as a waker, I am the witness of the gross universe. So as a dreamer, I am a witness of the, as a Taijasaha, as a dreamer, I'm a witness of the subtle universe, and as a sleeper, as the pragya, as pragya, or you can say in Vishwa, ID consciousness, am witness of the gross universe. In Taijasa, as Taijasaha, I, the consciousness, am witness of the subtle dream universe. And in Pragya, as Pragya, I, the consciousness, am the witness of the total ignorance or total blankness, which is nothing but unmanifest universe. And in as a waker, my attention is on, when I analyze the Vishwaha, I as the conscious, as a waker, my attention is on the Virat, the gross universe. As Taijasaha, my attention is on, as a dreamer, my attention is on subtle universe. And as a Pragyaha, my attention is on unmanifest blankness, the blankness, the unmanifest universe. And as Turiyaha, my attention is shifted from the object to the very witnessing I, the consciousness. As Turiyaha, then you arrive at as Turiya Chaitanyam, the consciousness, I am neither the subject nor the object. I, the self, am consciousness distinct from both the subject and the object. Okay, gradually, we saw in Taittiriya Upanishad, how from each layer of person, when we are analyzing the Panchakosha Prakriya, from each kosha, how we have to gradually go to the next, we have to see each layer of personality, and we have to climb on to next layer of personality. So here also, you see yourself as the Vishwaha first, then you see yourself as the one associated with objectifying, witnessing the gross universe. So also as the Taijasaha, as the dreamer, you see yourself as the one associated with the subtle universe, objectifying, witnessing the subtle universe. And as the Pragyaha, as sleeper, you see yourself as the one associated with objectifying the blankness, the total ignorance, which is the unmanifest, undifferentiated universe. And as Turiyaha, you see yourself as objectless, pure consciousness. Each pada becomes a stepping stone, using which, you, as though you are climbing on to the steps, and finally, as though, don't think you're stepping on here, okay? Finally, you really arrive at the consciousness, and you claim that consciousness as the real self, the I. Okay? actually you are that consciousness, and that consciousness is one and the same in all the minds. There is no second witness other than consciousness. So many minds are there. Therefore, it seems as though there are many witnesses. Really speaking, the witness behind all the minds is one and the same consciousness. And that consciousness is actually all that is here is that consciousness, the self. So we saw last class the two verses specifically presenting the oneness, the secondlessness of consciousness as the only witness obtaining in all the minds. And also we saw there is no second thing, second substance other than consciousness. Two verses were there, two karikas were mainly presented by Gaudapada Acharyaha, because there is when arriving at the consciousness, claiming consciousness as the self, you understand that what is there is only Advayam, Advaitam, Advitiyam, Brahma. What is there is only non-dual, secondless reality, the consciousness, the self, which is Brahma. Therefore, the dvaitam, the duality in ignorance, there is perception of duality possible. In knowledge also, perception of duality will continue to be there. Before gaining the jnanam, knowledge of the oneness of the reality, also there is perception of duality. But after gaining the knowledge also, perception of duality will continue to be there. But the difference is, where in ignorance, what you perceive is taken to be absolutely real. Because you do not know what is absolutely real. But in knowledge, your perception of duality, even though there, without denying your perception, accepting your perception, in cognition, you are very clear there is no duality at all, absolutely. Which means the duality which is perceived is only empirically, relatively real. No, it's only vyavaharikataya satyam, but natu paramarthikataya satyam. The working knowledge, isn't it? Working knowledge means what? Like that, how we ask, even though we perceive the blue water in the ocean, as children we will all search for the blue color pencil whenever we are asked to draw or paint the ocean. All the children, with one thing, we all search only for the blue color, because in our understanding, only if you use the blue color, there is water. But we all know very well that blueness of the water, ocean water, is only perceptually real, but absolutely it is not there. So also, even though we do not feel the motion of the earth, we are 100% sure the earth is fast rotating. Like so many examples I can give, like we appreciate the sunrise and the sunset, we talk about the sunrise and sunset, but we know very well sun does not rise and sun does not set at all. Like this here also, even though, even after jnanam, we do not deny We cannot avoid the perception of duality, but we know absolutely there is never duality at all. And duality at all, which means duality, if it was there and it must have gone, means non-duality must have come newly. If non-duality comes newly, means it will also go, which means moksha also will be impermanent thing, which is then all our efforts for moksha will be what now? Vain effort. Therefore, there is no reality other than consciousness. If at all there is anything other than consciousness, that matter, if at all you say, that matter is the tangible gross matter is nothing but absolutely, ultimately intangible consciousness only. Because the matter has never independent existence outside of, other than, without the consciousness. Therefore, existence of consciousness is the existence of matter. Therefore, the matter being mithya, consciousness being the only satyam, the matter is not countable as a parallel reality. Is clear? Therefore, we resolve the duality cognitively at two levels. As the witness in this mind, in my mind as I, is consciousness, the same, one and the same consciousness is the witness, knower, observer, experiencer behind all the minds and behind everything in this universe. And that consciousness is satyam, the entire, everything else other than the consciousness is mithya. Which is means, here jiva brahma aikyam also is, no? Duality and jiva ishvara duality also is resolved. Jiva brahma duality is resolved. And jagat brahma or jagat ishvara duality also is resolved. What is, there is only Parambrahma Chaitanyam Paramatma, okay, which is there as I, which is there as everything. And this, when you arrive at the Turiyam, you see yourself as the consciousness without the status of being the waker, dreamer, sleeper, without the status of being the subject of knowledge or experience, and without the object also, you are there as the one, the karya karana, drik drishya, observer, observed, vilakshanam, chaitanyam, tarturiya atma. This is the chatushpad atma vicharaha, which we will see again, we are going to see elaborately again in the following number of karikas. So I can stop here. Now we are entering into the new mantra, 8th mantra, which introduces the Omkara Vicharaha. And before reading this mantra again, I want to say, tell you this. This Omkaraha, when you say Omkaraha, what is this Karaha Karaha? All Tamil people will think of chillies or hot things. Karam, karam means. But actually, hot taste is in Tamil called karam. You know, spicy, hot. But here, karaha should be taken as just the word. You want to put Om, the word Om. To say that, we can say Omkaraha. Omkaraha means what? The word Om. That's the meaning. And here, the Omkaraha here is presented mainly for the equation. Equation with what? With Atma. So Chatushpad Atma is equated to the Omkaraha. There, no, Omkaraha and Atma are equated. What is the purpose of equating Omkaraha with Atma? It is for meditation. For the purpose of meditation, Omkaraha is presented as an alambanam. Alambanam means support, the symbol. Symbol here. I can tell you, we have two types of symbols, pratima and pratikam or pratika. Savayava murtihi is called pratima. A form with avayavas, limbs, is called pratima. Like that, what we have in temples, Krishna, Rama, Devi, with all limbs, decorations, when we have, those are called pratima. Pratima is a savayava murtihi. A form with limbs is called Savayava Murtihi Pratima. We have in temples the Savayava Murtihi Pratimas as symbol. The Alambanam, which represents Bhagavan Paramatma Ishwaraha. We use to relate to the Lord. And so also we have Niravayava Murtihi. Niravayava Murtihi means a form without limbs. Also we have called Pratika or Pratikam. We have Pratikaha in our class. Okay. Symbol for Bhagavan. Even every one of us is Pratikam only. Therefore, pratika means what? Pratikaha, pratika, or pratikam. You know, pratika we say generally. Niravayava murtihi is pratika. No, suppose when we go to the Lewisham temple, you see Shiva Lingam. The formless, limbless form. Niravayava murtihi, a limbless form, is pratika. Which stands for Shiva. In Vaishnava temples we have Salagramaha, the fossilized wood stone, no, which is a symbol for Virat, Vishnu. And in India, a mount of cow dung becomes Ganesha. Or no, mount of, just take some turmeric powder, hold it together, it becomes Nalambanam for Ganesha. Manjal Pillayar, we have, which means the symbols. So the Niravayava Murtihi, Niravayava Murtihi, the limbless form is called Pratika. Like that, The formless, no, okay, not a form symbol, but a sound symbol of the Lord is also called Pratika. Therefore, Om Karaha is a sound symbol of the Lord. Therefore, it is Pratika. So, any symbol is an alambanam. And Omkaraha is used as an alambanam. It is used for Ishvara Upasanam and also Brahma Nididhyasanam. It is used for Saguna Brahma Upasanam. It is also used for Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. Saguna Brahma Upasanam is meditation. Nirguna Brahma Upasanam is contemplation. So Om is used for both. How you will learn here. And here again, when you take something as an alambanam, symbol which represents something, it must have some similar features. Some similarity must be there. You can't simply take something and use it as a symbol. You know, generally, the green color, you know, is taken for the prosperity of the nation. For example, in India, we have a three-colored flag and there's a green color. The green color in Indian flag represents the prosperity of the country. Why should green represent, symbolize the prosperity? Because always the prosperity of the nation is calculated based on the natural resources in the form of the agricultural products we have and also the jungles, the gardens, the big woods, the forests. Based on it only, natural resources only is taken for calculating the country's, the nation's prosperity. Therefore, the green stands for the entire agriculture, all the vegetation also, which represents the prosperity. Therefore, it's a symbol. So, anything which is taken as a symbol must have some connection, isn't it? For what it stands for. Some similar features must be there. Therefore, here also, Om also, is Omkaraha also has some similar feature, similarity. Therefore, it's appropriate symbol for Ishvara as well as Brahma. It is good for Ishvara. Sound symbol for the Lord. And here, if you see, Om ka Atma, Atma is what? No. Chatushpad Atma. Atma is endowed with the four facets. So here also, Omkaraha also is endowed with the four parts. And each part of the Om is known as Matra. Each part of the Atma is known as Padaha. And each part of Om is known as Matra. So we can say Chatushpad Atma is equated to Chatur Matra Omkaraha. And what are those, what are the four padas of the Atma? You know very well. Even in sleep, you are woken up and asked, you can say Pratha Padaha Dvitiya Padaha Dvitiya Padaha Dvitiya Padaha. Pratha Padaha Virat Dvitiya Vishwaha Virat Dvitiya Padaha Tejasaha Hiranyagarbha Tritiya Padaha Pragyaha Antaryami Turiya Padaha Consciousness. You will say that very well. You can say very well, what is that really makes the individual feel as though he is distanced from that consciousness, himself being the consciousness, is only two things which stand in between. It is ajnanam and adhyasaha, ignorance and error. These two things are there. There is jiva as jiva, ishra, bheda. And they said, these two are dropped, then there is Brahma. Isn't it? Jiva, ishra, bheda is not there. It is this ignorance, it is this error caused by this ignorance, which seemingly distance, not really, the inner you from being you. There are similar here. You know very well, that is no doubt. But now, what are the four parts of the Omkaraha? The Omkara is introduced. Now, Omkaraha is properly introduced. So the eighth mantra introducing Omkaraha with all its parts as matras and mentions that Omkaraha is equatable and equated to Atma. I mean, I can say Atma, this equation of Atma and Omkaraha being appropriate is presented in the eighth mantra. Look at this. So yamatma, adhyaksharam, omkarah, adhimatram, padaha matrah, matrast. Chapadaha,
matrasya padaha,
akaravukaro,
akaravukaro,
makara iti,
makara iti.
So, soyamatma dyaksharamunkaro dhimatram pada matra matrascha pada akara vukaro makara iti. We don't split it, okay? This is the mantra. So, soyamatma. Soyamatma, Sanskrit class test now, okay? Soyamatma. I have to flip it here. Saha, I am Atma. Take stop that. Saha, I am Atma. Okay. Saha, I am Atma. I am Atma means this self. What is this self? This I, the consciousness. This self, this Atma. What is this Atma here? Why? The Atma which is now equated to Om, isn't it? This Atma has already been analyzed earlier in the previous mantras. Therefore, Saha. Understand? Saha Atma is I am Atma. The Atma which has been earlier analyzed as Chatushpad Atma. For Saha, you have to say this much, okay? Saha means what? That Atma, which Atma? That Atma, the reality, all pervasive, innermost reality, the consciousness, which has been, okay, analyzed earlier, okay, that Atma analyzed earlier in the previous mantras as Chatushpad Atma, is now taken here, is now what now? Equated. Is it clear now? Atma equated here. With what? Equated to what? With what? He says, adhyaksharam. Adhyaksharam. You say Atma means which Atma? The total full Atma. Atma with all its four aspects. Now is taken for equation with Om. So adhyaksharam means total omkaraha. Omkara with all its four parts. Adhyaksharam means omkara with all its four parts, total, aksharam. No, aksharam means syllable. Aksharam also means letter. Aksharam also means indestructible. Na ksharati iti aksharam. The star also is called nakshatram because na ksharati iti nakshatram. That which does not perish is called what? Nakshatram. Na ksharati iti nakshatram. Na ksharati iti aksharam arivatrad. That is why Brahman also reality is implied by the term aksharam. But here in Sanskrit generally aksharam also means what? A letter, lipi. Aksharam other languages. Aksharam also means what? A syllable. So here adi aksharam means the aksharam as a whole. Omkaraha with all its four parts is what now? Adhyaksharam. And this Adhyaksharam, this Omkara with all its four parts, the total Omkaraha with all its four parts is equated to what? The Atma is equated to what? This Omkaraha. Which Atma? The four faceted Atma is equated to four-parted Omkaraha. That is the meaning of the first sentence. Saha ayam Atma Adhyaksharam. You cannot search for the sentence correction, all that. You have to understand here. Saha ayam Atma Adhyaksharam. That Atma which has been analyzed as for Chatushpad Atma is now equated to this Omkara, the total Omkaraha. Understand now? Consisting of four parts. Now, next sentence, next. Omkaraha Adhimatram. Okay. The Omkaraha Adhimatram means what now? This Omkaraha is consisting of four parts called matras. Each part is called a matra. Adhimatram means four-parted Omkaraha. Omkaraha is also four-parted, like four-faceted Atma. Adhimatram means what? Four-parted Omkaraha. And each part is called matra. Therefore, what are those padas here? If we dismantle Atma, we have four padas of the Atma. Prathama, Dvitiya, Tritiya, Turiya padas. Like if we dismantle this Om also, we get four matras. Okay? So, Chatur Matra Omkaraha. Therefore, like Atma as a whole is equated to Om as a whole, and each Pada of the Atma is equated to each Matra of Omkaraha. Is it clear now? Each pada of the Atma is equated to each matra of Omkaraha. Therefore, padaha matraha means what? All the four padas, prathama, dvitiya, tritiya, turiya padas of the Atma are equated to what now? Four matras of the Om. That is the meaning of padaha matraha. Again Upanishad repeats, matraha cha padaha. The matras of the four matras of the Omkara are like the four padas of the Atma. Don't think I am repeating. Mantra is repeating. Now, what are those matras? We don't need to ask what are the padas. We finished studying. Now, we have to do what now? What are the matras? Four parts of the Omkaraha, Akaraha, Ukaraha, Makaraha. Only three are there. We have to include the fourth, stealing from other mantra, from other place. That is Amatraha, Amatra. Amatra. Akaraha, Ukaraha, Makaraha. Three matras. The fourth matra is Amatra. If you say, when you say Om, 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 there Akaraha should be the first letter. Ukaraha must be the next letter. Okay? And Makaraha is a consonant. And after Makaraha, when you finish the sound Om, the silence which follows Makaraha, isn't it, is taken to be the Amatraha. Amatra, sorry, Amatra. Prathama matra Akaraha, Dvitiya matra Ukaraha, Tritiya matra Makaraha, and Amatra silence following the Makara. And here we have to remember very clearly, very important thing I want to tell you. There's been triggered my one of my students from Ilford, whose car has Om. She wanted to have Om in her car. I'll tell her also. I say, she has. See, in English language, there is no a vowel sound. A. We have to, whether we like it or not, there are only five vowels in English. And of the five, definitely there is no a. There is no u also. U is there, not u. U is not there. Okay? In all the Indian languages, Akara is the most significant vowel. Therefore, if when you want to write Om, isn't it, A-U-M, if you write, it is not appropriate. Because A is a diphthong, not vowel A. A is different from A, isn't it? U is different from U. Therefore, Om, when you write, better to write O-M than to write A-U-M. Because English A is not A. English U, U is not U. Is it clear? And here, A and U, these two letters, two sounds, when they come together, and as per the grammatical euphonic law of combination, phonetic rule, it becomes O. You would have learnt it in the class now. O. Is it? Therefore, A, U becomes O, then you add Makara, it becomes Om. Okay, this is something I want to tell you anyway. So, Akara, Ukara, Makaraha, Iti. Then silence which follows is what now? the fourth should be taken as the fourth part of the Omkaraha only. Now, so this is how the eighth mantra introduces the Omkaraha with all its parts, stating the Omkara as a whole is equated to, the Atma is equated to Om, and each pada of Atma also is equated to each matra of the Omkaraha. And here we should remember, what is the purpose here? Purpose of this equation. Already told you, the purpose of the equating Atma with this Om is for meditation. And meditation is for what now? We try to take each, each sound. For example, then U, then then when is finally is a silence. So here also it is like slow, gradually you are placing the attention in in the external grass universe. Then from there you're asked to help it to take the attention, shift the attention from grass to the subtle, and subtle to the unmanifest, and from there to silence, and from silence to consciousness. This is a gradual, isn't it? This is a gradual inward journey towards you, the consciousness. So each letter represents each padaha. So now Upanishad is going to introduce that. We'll see here. It is not something to be done in a hurry. No, very gradual movement. Gradually shifting, giving enough time for the mind. You give your buddhi enough time to dwell upon one thing, and from there slowly your attention is taken to another level. From gross to subtle, subtle to unmanifest, unmanifest to consciousness. Okay. Now we'll see the ninth mantra.
Jagaritasthano Vaishvanarokaraha Prathamamatra Apteradimatvat Va Apnoti Hava Sarvan Kaman Adischa Bhavati Ya Evam Veda.
This ninth mantra presents the Akara Virad Aikya Upasanam. Akara Virad Aikya Upasanam means what? The Prathama Pada Akara Aikya Upasanam also we can say. See, Jagaritasthanaha. Jagaritasthanaha means what now? The one who is associated with the waking state, or obtaining in waking state, is Jagaritasthanaha. Who is the one who is obtaining in waking state, associated with the waking state, objectifying the gross universe? Vishvaha. Therefore, Vishvaha understood. And this Vishvaha, associated with the gross universe, Obtaining in the waking state is called also what? Vaishvanaraha. Vaishvanaraha means Vishwarupaha, Virat. Vishwarupa means what? The one who is the form of the gross, the total cosmos. Vishwarupaha, Vaishvanaraha, Virat. Sthula prapanchaha, the gross, the total gross universe, is equated to prathama matra. Prathama padaha vishvaha virad is equated to prathama matra. What is prathama matra of omkaraha? Prathama matra. That is said. That's stopped here. Prathama matra. It's not, sentence is not like elaborate sentence. What is it? What is it? The mantra say? Jagratasthanaha Vaishwanaraha Akaraha. Akaraha Prathama matra. Jagratasthanaha Vaishwanaraha. Two words you get. Then Akaraha Prathama matra. What do you get here? You have to supply words, make a complete sentence. Jagratasthanaha, one who obtains in waking state. Who is the one who obtains? Vishvaha, the waker, associated with the gross, total gross universe, Virat, the Vaishvanaraha, the Prathamapadaha, is equated to Akaraha, the Prathama Matra of Omkaraha. Which means Akaraha becomes the Alambanam, the symbol for Virat, Vishwarupaha. Now what is Virat? You can say Ishwaraha, Viradishwaraha, Hiranyagarbheshwaraha. Then Antaryameshwaraha, the Ishwara is, Ishwaraha the Lord, isn't it? The Lord, who is the Lord here for us? In waking state, the whole total gross universe is Ishwaraha. Ishwaraha is not the gross universe, but the total gross universe is Ishwaraha, the Lord. And what the Lord is name, what's the name we give here? Virat. When you talk about the, whenever the universe is brought in, we call it Ishwaraha. Minus universe, reality is Brahma. Understand? Consciousness with manifest or unmanifest universe is equal to the Lord. Consciousness minus unmanifest or manifest universe is Brahma. Is it clear now? When the, which means what? Consciousness with the universe gets the status Ishvara. Without the universe remains without the status as Brahma. Is it clear now? That's all. The status. Relative status. And here we say, in therefore, Virat is the, Virat vividham rajate iti Virat. That which shines as everything here is what? Virat. Virajaha. Virajate. Virajate is Atmane Padam. I wanted to know. The Virat has come from Virajate. Vividham rajate. Rajate means what? Shines. The king is called Raja because shines. The most shining, well-known person. Whether everybody in America is known or not, Obama is known, isn't he? Whether Raja means what? The one who shines, one who is well-known to everybody is the Raja. Of course, he's not Raja, but still I'm saying. Some, the king means in king, the word Raja is a beautiful word, isn't it? Raja means Rajate iti Raja. vibhrajate, rajate, virajate. So vividham rajate, that which shines is everything. All, everything shines there is that only, Paramatma only. Therefore, virat. Palav anaitthu maha vilangu vadhu nartho. Umulukku virat anna, Tamil. Virat, vividham, raj, viraj, virajate. And then what is the noun you get, adjective you get is what? Virat. Okay. So the whole universe, that what is that which shines as the whole universe? In just take only the Virat, waking now, we are only still only one part of the Ishvara, isn't it? It is the consciousness, the all-pervasive, innermost essence, the reality, the Atma, Brahman alone, shines as this universe. Virat. Okay. Now, this Akaraha is a symbol for this Virat. Just the letter A, the sound A, is a symbol. Now, when you think of A, immediately the whole gross universe, known, unknown, visible, invisible, imperceptible, perceptible, all the gross universe, the total gross universe should come to your mind. A means the total gross manifestation. Ishvara. Not just the universe, okay? Universe is, universe, that which shines as universe is Paramatma only. Therefore, Virat. Therefore, Akara is the Alambanam for the small, you know, Alambanam for the Virat. See, it is very important for us to get used to this associating, connecting this Om to Virat. It's a very beautiful upasana. You know, I'll give the example. When people come to the temples, people who are not exposed to that, you know, if you do not know, suppose the culture, the culture, Hindu culture, is really rooted in this Vedic vision, based on this Vedic vision. When they go, people can see, you know, for all the people that they know the significance of spirit behind the form or not. That's a different thing. Because Indians are also equally ignorant. I'm not saying anything. But generally when they go, they will not see suppose you see Devi's Murti there. No, the late Devi's Murti, a female statue you see. The other person who goes, you know, it's because the relationship with that, generations that have been related, for when they see it, they do not see it as a just, oh, how valuable this stone is. They do not see the value of the stone. They do not see it as an art piece. They see it as Parashakti Devi. Isn't it? That connection, immediately you should be able to connect to. That how one cannot get that thing overnight. Even though we do not know that represents Devi or anything, because for many generations you are told, this is Shiva, this is Shiva, this is Shiva. When you see Vana Lingam, uniquely Shiva. You've been trained, the mind has been trained, no, at least hypnotized actually. This is Devi. Even the Devi is not this stone, but this stone is not a stone. This Murti is Devi. Never look at it as just a stone. You know, what is the nature of the stone, texture of the stone, how valuable it is. In any archaeological department, people should be really inquired about this value of it. You know, just how beautiful art piece it is. It's just art piece for another non-meditative person, isn't it? But the person who can relate to that is completely mind is set, isn't it? To the appreciation of it. It needs very long time. For generations, people have been told, this is Ishvara, this is Devi, this is Shiva, this is Shiva, this is Shiva. They've been told, Salagrama is Vishnu. Therefore, they can relate to that. Similarly, we have to train our minds here as what? Akaraha is what? A means Samashti Vishwarupaha Virad Ishwaraha. It is the Lord who is manifest as the total gross universe experienceable in the waking state. See, bring in Bhagavan here. You never miss Bhagavan. Virat. See, it needs lot of training. Akaraha means Vishwarupaha Virat Ishwaraha. It's a very important thing. And the next Upanishad says, on what basis do you use Akaraha as the symbol for Virat? There must be some similar feature, no? Just now you gave us the example why green color is taken as, you know, something which represents the, which indicates, implies the prosperity of the nation. Some connection must be there. What is the connection? Why, what is that similar feature? What is the similarity that Akara can be taken as a symbol for Virat? Why? Is it clear now? That is the next question comes. So here Upanishad gives us the beautiful, the two features are given. What is that? Two features, the two similar features are two reasons why Akara is taken as a symbol for Virat. Vishwarupaha. Aptehe Adimatvat. Two reasons. Okay? First reason is Aptihi. Second reason is Adimatvam. The two words Aptehe Adimatvat. Two words are there. You can take it as like this. You can write it as Aptihi, number one point. Number two point is what? Adimatvam. Aptihi and Adimatvam are the two common features based on which Akara is taken as an alambanam for Virat. When you think of the whole Virat should come to your mind. He says, first is Aptihi. Aptihi means pervasiveness. Aptihi means what? Pervasiveness. It has come from the root ap. The verb is apnoti. The noun is aptihi, vyaptihi, isn't it? Praptihi, that. Aptihi is noun here, which means pervasiveness. Due to the pervasiveness, no, it is one is taken as symbol for the other, which means Akaraha is also of the nature of pervasiveness. A sound also is of the nature of pervasiveness. And Virat also is all pervasive. You can ask next question, how do you say A is all pervasive? Let me tell you. You have to remember, this Omkara is a monosyllabic word, monosyllabled word consisting of three sounds, and of which the first sound is Akaraha and is A, because A is the first most significant sound which comes effortlessly whoever, whenever opens the mouth. Okay? Even the donkey or the cow or calf It comes first sound when you open the mouth. The sound that comes out first is a. You try that. Therefore, to make you open your mouth properly, even the ENT specialist will say, he'll show you that. Which means, he has to say that. Otherwise, he can't see a tree inside, what is that properly. So, he has to say that, Why he says? To open the mouth means you have to say, When you open the mouth, the sound first you get is, only. Which means, no effort is involved in making this sound, for the sound to manifest. Okay? Therefore, akaraha is said to be the first and the foremost of the sounds which emerges when the mouth is open. Therefore, and any other sound, vowel sound, all the alphabet, the most significant of all the alphabetic sounds is the akaraha, and any other sound, Shastram says, is nothing but modified, converted form of this akaraha only. Then you have to, then you have to change your lips, isn't it? The palates and all that. And E is also nothing but the modified form of that same sound. Any sound, that any alphabetic sound is converted form of that basic sound akaraha. And you open your mouth, talk, talks as much as possible until you have the throat pain or neck pain. Then when you get tired and close your mouth, all the sounds become quiet. Okay, when the stands for what now? Sound, ending of sounds. Okay, beginning of sounds is what now? Is the beginning of the sounds. Is the end of the sounds. When means you close. Lips have to come together. That's why it's called ma is a libial, isn't it? O aushtya. Therefore, akaraha being the most significant, the foremost of all the sounds, and being the cause, is looked upon as the cause of all the sounds. Therefore, cause pervades all the effects, like gold pervading the instruments, fabric pervading the shirt. Cause pervades the effect. Therefore, akaraha pervades all the sounds. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, aksharanamakarosmi. Then there's a nice, beautiful Chandogyam sentence. Shankara quotes here, akarovai sarvavak. Sarvavak. All the speech, all the oral expressions are nothing but modified forms of, converted forms of the sound a. Is it clear? Therefore, akaro vai sarvavak. Sarvavak akaraha. Therefore, akaraha is all pervasive. Akara pervades the entire world of speech. Okay? And words. All the sounds. All the alphabetic sounds. Therefore, equatable to, can symbolize what? The Virat. What is Virat? That which pervades everything, and that which shines as everything is Virat. What is it which shines as everything? That which pervades everything alone can shine as everything, isn't it? When you say water shines as the entire ocean means, water cannot shine as the entire ocean unless it pervades the entire ocean. So pervading the entire ocean, shines as the entire ocean is what? Water. Similarly, the reality pervading the entire universe, shining as the entire universe is also what now? Viradishwaraha. Okay? Reality is not Ishwara, but Ishwara is the reality. Virad is Brahma. Atma. Atma is not Virat, but Virat is Atma. But the whole, what is Virat now? The entire gross universe which shines is nothing but Virat Ishwara. Therefore, Virat is all pervasive. Akaraha is all pervasive. Therefore, Aptihi pervasiveness is the common feature. Therefore, Akaraha is an alambanam symbol which represents, symbolizes, which stands for the Virat. In meditation, I'm going to teach you that when you complete it, we'll practice, we'll do that. This is, we had to work on it, okay? And should remember, immediately should bring you what now? The whole samashti sthula prapanchaha. At one level, okay? This is one reason. The second reason is what? Adimatvam. Adimatvam means primary status. The foremost status. The status of being the foremost, the first, the beginning. Isn't it? It's called Adimatvam. Adihi means beginning. Adimatva means having the status of being the first, the foremost. And of all the alphabetic sounds, being the very cause of all the sounds, being the source of all the sounds, Akara is the first and the primary sound. Akara comes first, then comes any alphabetic sounds, then comes any other, isn't it, any other sound. Without involving a sound, just let me make only E sound if you say, closing the gutter here, you try A, you cannot get it. Is it clear now? Therefore, in every alphabetic different sounds, all the palatal, cerebrals, you know, in dentals, labials, and all the sounds, A sound is there. Why? A is the first. Already I have said pervasiveness, but now we say the first. Similarly here also, Virat is the first. Always samashti, the total comes first, then comes the individuals. Without the ocean, wave cannot come first. Which came first? When you see simultaneously. Buddhi, you can't think. A buddhi is very limited, can't see much. Okay, first comes total, then comes the individual. In fact, for everything which is individual, every single thing is total, is the first cause. The Virat came first and all the individuals came later. Therefore, you say here, Virat also is what? Adiman. Viradeshwaraha Adiman. Akaraha also Adiman. Adimatvat, due to the status of being the first of all the letters, Akara is Adiman, and due to the enjoyment of the foremost of all the beings here, Virad is also what now? Adiman, the foremost. Therefore, due to these two features, Akara is, you know, acceptable to be the Akara is appropriate symbol for Virad. The two reasons Upanishad gives. Thereafter, Upanishad says, if a person really, when he chants O Omkaraha, there the Akara he relates to the Virad Ishwaraha Samashti Sthula Prapanchaha, Bhagavan who is manifest as the whole total gross universe. Immediately it will come. Our Swamiji used to tell this beautiful, no? When I was very, very young, this example I heard him when I was very childhood, and then even recently I heard sometime back, always he gives example, you know, in the advertisement, how those days when I was very young, all the cinema stars, they used Lux soap, okay? And the Lux soap, then all ads come in televisions, and when you go to movies also, before the film start, the advertisements, the Lux soap advertisement comes. They won't even use the word soap, okay? Just the Lux. All the time, using the word Lux, soap means Lux only will come to your mind. Even though soap is not Lux, Lux is the soap. Like that, and then the ad, okay, the advertisement again and again, it goes to your subconscious, it surfaces from your mind, the whole, it's called reprogramming of your psychological system. It is completely reprogrammed in your mind. Soap means what now? Lux only will come to your mind. Whereas Bhagavan means what now? Ukara means Bhagavan should come to your mind. Is it clear now? So Lux means soap will come, isn't it? Like that, for us, Akara means Ishvara. So Virat should come to your mind. So if one has to train really, okay, it is a lot of training is required, which we'll take care. We'll do that in the class. So this, when you practice this meditation, what will be the phalam? Okay, Akara Virad Aikya Upasana phalam is given next in the mantra. So the mantra presents three factors. What is the meditation, which means what is meditated upon what? Then the reason for the given symbol being given, accept the given symbol, given letter as this symbol, which means the similarities of the features of the symbol and the object of meditation. The third factor given is upasana phalam. Okay, you go for a tea, come back, we'll see the upasana phalam. We have to see so many other things, okay? Steps are there. We'll see what is covered with possible today. Go and come. Jagaritasthano. वैश्वानरः अकारः प्रथमा मात्रा. So that explains till then the sentence in the mantra, till that part explains reveals the akara being the alambanam for Virad Ishwarah. Vishwarupa Ishwaraha. And here, the symbol, Akara being is the symbol for Virat, Alambanam for Virat, because of the two reasons, Aptihi and Adimatvam. Mudanmai Vyapitirukkum Tanmai. Okay, so Aptehe Adimatvat. Is all the reason now. Now, suppose if a person is given to this practice of meditation, what meditation here? Akara, Akara, Virad, Aikya, Upasanam, if a person practices. As a spiritual seeker, as a mumukshu, as a jignyasu, as the one who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, if a person practices this meditation, then the end will be antahkarana naischalyam and the mental steadiness and the tranquil mind, which is a contemplative disposition of the mind. Moksha is not said as the end here. Jnanam is also not said as the end here. What will he have? Because dvaita nisheda is not possible by this meditation. Dvaita nisheda means what? Negation of duality is not possible. See, intellectual negation of duality or cognitive negation of duality is moksha. Freedom, which is the ascertained vision of the non-duality of the reality, isn't it? But such negation of duality is not possible here because Virad is the object of meditation. Alambanam is the akaraha. And you are the meditator. You are the one who takes this akara as an alambanam in which you invoke Virat. You visualize Virat. Is it clear now? Therefore, it is a saguna Ishvara upasanam or saguna Brahma upasanam or Ishvara dhyanam, Viradeshvara dhyanam, which will bless you with mental tranquility or steadiness, which in turn is a contemplative disposition of the mind. This phalam is there for the one who is a spiritual seeker. Mumukshu jignyasu, one who has purushartha nischaya. Suppose, otherwise also, this one more palam is called Nishkama Upasakaha, isn't it? The person who is practicing this meditation for mental tranquility, steadying the mind, for jnanam, for contemplative disposition of the mind, isn't it? For such a person is called Nishkama Upasakaha, isn't it? Otherwise, even as, suppose the person also is interested in the other ends, he is called Sakama Upasakaha. The one who is still interested in other ends also, nothing wrong. If a person practices this meditation, what will be the benefit? That is said here. The benefit of meditation, Upasana Phalam, is said in the following part of the mantra. Yaha evam veda. See the last part of the mantra. Ya evam veda. Yaha evam veda. Evam means in this manner. In this way. Ivvidamaha. In which manner? In this manner. Understanding akara as all pervasive letter. The sound which pervades all these sounds, and understanding akara as the foremost primary letter In it, from which alone, which is all other sounds, have, all Vedic sounds have come into existence. Understanding that and taking Akara as a symbol for this all-pervasive Virad Ishvara, who is the foremost of all the beings here. Understanding that one who visualizes or practices this meditation of upon this Virad, now in this Ong Akaraha, such a person, Yaha Yevam Veda, he who in this manner, Veda means meditates. The word Veda, some other contexts, means knows, K-N-O-W-S. But here it means meditates. One who understands and meditates, one who practices this meditation in this manner, okay, understanding Akara as a symbol, understanding Virad Ishvara as the object of meditation, one who practices this meditation, Yaha Evam Veda, he who, Yaha, now you know Sanskrit students, you all know Yaha, relative pronoun, he who, the one who, now practices this meditation in this manner, not the way you want, no, in this manner. Akara means only Virat. Now why can't they meditate upon Hiranyagarbha on Akara? No. Akara is symbol for Virat only. In this manner, such a person apnoti. See the word apnoti? Aptehe adimatvat. After that, you get the word apnoti. Apnoti means attains. Yaha evam veda saha apnoti. One who meditates thus as prescribed here, as taught here, as mentioned here, in this manner, saha apnoti, he attains. He attains what? Sarvan kaman. Okay, kamaha singular. Kamaha kamo kamaha. Kamam kamo kaman. This morning I heard you studying naraha narau naraha, isn't it? Like that, kamaha, one object is called kamaha, object of pleasure. Come out to many kamaha. Kamangalai, inbangalai, potkalai, how will you say? Kamam, kamau, kaman. Okay, sarvan, kaman, apnoti. I have to remind you, how will you, apply your Sanskrit knowledge. Sarvan, kaman, apnoti means he attains, he accomplishes all his objects of desire, objects of pleasures. Sarvan kaman apnoti. Why? Because the Upanishad says, what it implies is, when you meditate upon extended, extensive, expanded Virat form, and you will, your the benefit of the meditation also will be what now? Expansion. You'll get everything. Okay? You'll get Mahalakshmi. Virat, if you worship, Lakshmi is so happy to stay with you. Oh, my husband is thought about, so let me, she feels very happy and she will come to you. In fact, this Sriman Narayanayam, Bhattadri beautifully says differently what he says. Even Lakshmi will come to the houses only where husband's praise is sung. That means what? So it's a poetic way of saying. But really speaking, what now? Virad Upasanam will bless you with all prosperity. That's the meaning. Artha Kama, in terms of Artha Kama, whatever you want, you will get it. You will not be deprived of any of your objects of pleasures or any of your object of desires. You can fulfill it, isn't it? You see, the fulfillment of your desires and wishes is dependent on grace, anugraha. You need some punyam, special punyam. And that punyam required for being able to fulfill your wishes like that, isn't it? Everybody has wishes, but are able to fulfill? That's the problem, isn't it? That becomes effortlessly becomes accomplished if we have this akara virad aikya upasanam. It's a byproduct, okay? Our aim is moksha is the main end, jnanam is the main end, and for which, isn't it? Therefore, antakara naischalyam is the aim of meditation, but that is also there. Even if you're sakama upasaka, this is also, what now, benefit. You can have as a result of practicing this meditation. Upanishad promises prosperity, sarvan kaman. Okay, then, adischa bhavati, adihi bhavati, adi, and not only he becomes the full, becomes the accomplisher of all his, you know, fulfillment of all his wishes and objects and desire and all that, he becomes the first also, adihi bhavati. Why? Because Virad is adihi, foremost, the Lord of all the beings. And akara is the foremost of the letters, sounds. Therefore, here what he says is, the one who practices this meditation becomes the first in everything. Class first, school first, university first. Any endeavor you take, you know, anything, any discipline, any endeavor you involve yourself in, you become the first in that. Adihicha bhavati. Among businessmen, topper. Among players, topper. Among, no, any field you go, that person becomes the topper. So I wish the toppers might have done such a pass on someone. See, nothing you can get, anything, you cannot get anything without having put in effort. Anything one enjoys, they have that much adequate punyam. Punyam only helps them to enjoy what they have in this life. You have to accept that. It's a fact. Even though we see them all the time sitting, not doing anything, still enjoying all the time, means somewhere they have earned the punyam by doing that adequate karma to earn that punyam. Nothing comes easy, isn't it? You have put in some effort somewhere. I always tell, see, even to get this every day, I always think, not only me, all of us enjoy this. It's some such as, isn't it, joy. Even for that, you enjoy any small, anything which makes you feel, you know, that joy you cannot get unless we have some punyam. So here, adihi bhavati. Adihi bhavati means what? He becomes the first in every field wherever he puts, makes, no, his effort. He enters, becomes the first. Okay? That which means adihi bhavati sarvan kaman apnoti, which means the sarvan kaman apnoti, but now he becomes the accomplisher of all his wishes, means his accomplishment of artha kama, he has everything wide. I mean, you know, having a big family set up, even having more people, manpower, money power, all that, you know, it's all because of the virad upasana punya palam only. Some people say, no, one grandfather, five uncles, 10 aunties, and then the 25 cousins, then no, 130 cousins, when all they say, it's all virad upasana palam. And also, no, we have property here, we have property there, we have property there, we have property in Singapore and Malaysia and there and this and America and this then, and all the hill stations anywhere in the best part of the world, we have assets and property. Some people say this. I hear people telling, even one host to stay, there's no time. I don't know how will they travel, how will they go and stay everywhere. That's a different thing. But they say it's all because of the punyam they have earned through appropriate karma. And here, Upanishad says, this virad akara aikya Now, Upasana Karta also, Upasakaha also, really blessed with such expansion, expanded, accomplishment of assets. That is the meaning of this. Sarvan Kaman Apnoti. Is it clear? And Adihi Bhavati. He becomes the topper and the first in everything. Everything he involves himself in. Okay? Here ends the first Upasanam. Now we'll go to the next Upasanam. Swapnasthanah. Taijasah. See, Swapnasthanah Taijasah. Ukaro. Dvitiya Matra. Utkarshat. Ubhayatvat. Va utkarshati havai jnanasantatim samanascha bhavati nasya brahma vitkule bhavati ya evam veda. Like the previous mantra, this 10th mantra also presents 3 factors. And here, the object of meditation, upasanam, is Hiranyagarbha or Dvitiya Padaha of the Atma. Taijasa Hiranyagarbha. Is it Taijasaha? Hiranyagarbha, the dvitiya padaha of the Atma, is the object of meditation, and the alambanam for this meditation upon Hiranyagarbha is ukaraha, ukaraha, second matra of omkaraha, dvitiya matra, the second matra, part of the omkara is ukaraha, and that ukara is the alambanam, the symbol upon which you invoke the dvitiya padaha of the atma. And who is dvitiya padaha of the atma? Here Upanishad does not mention again. We have to go back to the previous mantra wherein Taijasaha Advitiya Padaha is unfolded. Where is it? In the 4th mantra it is there. Isn't it? So Taijasaha. So Swapnasthanaha. Swapnasthanaha. What now? Atma, the consciousness, obtaining in the dream state, associated with the dream universe, or objectifying the dream universe, is what now? Hiranyagarbha samashti sukshma prapanchaha, the entire subtle universe, subtle manifestation. When I say this, the Hiranyagarbha at the individual level is Taijasaha, at the total level is Hiranyagarbha. Anyway, consciousness obtaining in the dream state, associated with the subtle manifestation, is called what now? Dvitiya Padaha Hiranyagarbha. Is it clear? Therefore, now if we think of the samashtihi, samashti sukshma prapanchaha hiranyagarbheshwaraha, Viradeshwara is over, hiranyagarbheshwaraha. In Puranic language, Brahma, Brahma, personified is what? Four-headed, but let us not think of four heads now. We are thinking only of the samashti, total subtle manifestation, subtle universe. Is Hiranyagarbha. And Hiranyagarbha is the object of meditation, Hiranyagarbheshwaraha. And where is it invoked upon? Where is it visualized here? Isn't it? What is the alambanam here? Ukaraha dvitiya matra. And here, again the question comes. How come ukaraha is taken as the alambanam for Hiranyagarbha? Isn't it? Hiranyagarbha means, in your mind, what should come? The total cosmic mind, the total cosmic intelligence, the total cosmic prana shakti, total prana. All the powers, icha, samashti, isn't it? Total icha, shakti, kriya shakti, jnana shakti, all the powers. All the powers together is what now? Hiranyagarbha. Total, total mind, total intelligence, total prana shakti, icha, jnana, kriya, shakti, isn't it? All the powers. The powers manifest is what? Hiranyagarbha. The powers are subtle, imperceptible. You know that? Powers are understandable but imperceptible. Therefore, we call them subtle. Isn't it true? You know the power of desiring, the power of activity, the power of knowledge. Is it? You can understand all this. First, understand your own powers. It become very clear. Your own five subtle sense powers. Are these powers different from the body or not? Tell me. The golakam, the eyeball, the eye is different, the seeing power is different. Seeing power, hearing power, the power of smelling, the power of taste, the power of touch, the pancha indriyani, five powers, power of perception. And also these powers plus what now? Karma indriya shakti, all the powers, just leave the physical parts, take only the powers. The powers in your hand, the power in the legs, power in organ of speech, power in, you know, the reproductive organ, power in excretory organ, all this karma indriya shakti, jnana indriya shakti, all the powers. And come to your mind the power of knowing, the capacity to know, jnana shakti, the capacity to desire. What is desire? How is it possible for you to have the desire? There is a subtle instrument, isn't it, called mind. Why do you call subtle? Because you can't draw the mind, you can't paint the mind, you can't describe the mind. But you know, you can describe your desire. Can you describe desire? No. You can't describe your desire. But you know you have desire. All that you can say is you have desire. Therefore, you know that there is something called desire. Isn't it? The desire is expression of the power of desiring. Icha shakti. You're able to know when I'm teaching here, understanding the power of knowing. Jnana shakti. And the power of knowing is immediately power of activity. Is it? Even the knowledge how to do it is also what now? Jnana shakti, kriya shakti, all these powers put together, total power is what? Subtle. Why do you call subtle? Because imperceptible. You understand the power being manifest, but you cannot perceive the power through the senses. Because very perception on the part of senses is possible because of the power. Isn't it? Therefore, what I want to understand, all these powers, the total mind, the total intellect, the intelligence, you know, the samashti kriya jnana icha shakti nam samuha, isn't it? Samashti shakti, subtle manifestation is what? All the powers are manifest. Powers manifest is sukshma. Suksha prapanchaha is called what now? Hiranyagarbha. Consciousness associated with the subtle, total manifest powers. Manifest, no, power. Samashti suksha prapanchaha is called what now? Hiranyagarbheshwaraha. Is it? And here we say that Ishvara is, when you say Om, when you say from Akara, you are next going to Ukara. The shifting from Akara to Ukara is shifting your attention from the gross to the subtle. You are moving from the gross to the subtle, not physically. Now you see what now? The subtle. And that subtle is the samashti sukshma prapanchaha. The consciousness appearing as the samashti sukshma prapanchaha is called Hiranyagarbheshwaraha. And therefore, the whole subtle universe is Hiranyagarbheshwaraha. The whole manifest gross universe is Virat. So now the entire subtle universe in its entirety is Hiranyagarbheshwaraha. And when you see the Ukara symbolizes Hiranyagarbheshwaraha. Now, why Ukara is taken as symbol? He says, two reasons Upanishad gives again. Two reasons for taking Ukara as a symbol. One reason is Utkarshaha. Second reason is Ubhayatvam. I'll explain each word. Utkarshaha means superiority or exaltedness, mainmay. Utkarshaha means what? Superiority or exaltedness. Which means, is the one thing, which is a common feature between Ukara and the Hiranyagarbha. Now you can ask, how can you say Hiranyagarbha is superior? Ukara also is superior. Superior to what? Superior, isn't it? We have to say here. Hiranyagarbha is superior to Virat. Who is superior to whom? Isn't it? Hiranyagarbha is superior to Virat. How do we say here? Because always subtle is the cause, gross is the effect. Subtle, intangible energy is the cause, and gross, tangible matter is the effect. So always subtle is the cause, gross is the effect only. Which means the effect is dependent on the cause, therefore cause is superior to its effect. Therefore, here sukshma prapancha is the, isn't it? Sukshma prapancha lends existence to the sthula prapancha. The subtle powers will lend existence to the gross material products. You have to remember here Tattva Bodha lesson. Even when we understood this, how all these physical forms, gross forms have come into existence, when we studied, we understood very well, all these gross forms are nothing but modified form of gross elements only, combination of gross elements. And the gross elements have come in, how did they come into existence? Through grossification. And what is grossification? Which means the gross elements have come from the subtle elements. I'm not going into the details of how, what is grossification, one-fourth and all those things. I'm just telling you, subtle elements, the gross elements are the effects, subtle elements are the cause. Remember that. You have to remember that. Therefore, you also understand, subtle is the cause, gross is the effect. And gross is dependent on subtle for its existence. Like any effect is dependent on the cause for its existence. Therefore, Hiranyagarbha is superior to Virat. So, Hiranyagarbha is also called Prajapatihi, Brihaspatihi. Here, listen to these names, don't get confused, okay? And please don't give any form here. Understand it as it is. And here we say, therefore, Hiranyagarbha is Utkarsha. Hiranyagarbha is superior. Utkarshat means due to its superiority. Now, so what? If Hiranyagarbha is superior to Virat, what does it have to do with Ukara? You have to say, Ukara also is superior to Akara. Because from the standpoint of resolution of when you say in uttering Omkaraha Om, when you say Akaraha comes first is okay, but Akara resolves in Ukara. Then Ukara resolves in Makara. Then Makara resolves in silence. And silence will resolve in consciousness. Resolvable. I'm going to explain that later on. Don't get worked up now. Just I want to understand. Understand, therefore, what resolves in what? The resolving point is the Ukara for the Akara. Your Ukara is engulfed by, sorry, Akara is devoured by Ukara. Like Virat is engulfed by Hiranyagarbha. Is it clear? Therefore, Ukaraha also, as the one in whom Akara resolves in uttering Omkara, Ukara is more exalted than Akara. Ukara is superior to Akara. Therefore, Ukara also has superiority. Hiranyagarbha also has superiority over Virat. Therefore, both being superior, Ukara is taken as an alambanam for samashti Sukshva prapancha rupena vartamana Hiranyagarbheshwaraha. He stands for the Hiranyagarbheshwaraha, the samashti, one who shines as the samashti Sukshva prapancha. It is the consciousness which alone shines as the all subtle powers also. You have to remember that point, okay? It is the consciousness which alone shines as all the gross, perceptible, tangible, external forms. The same consciousness is shining as the imperceptible, indescribable, subtle, total powers. All the knowing power, hearing power, power of desiring, power of activity, power of knowledge, all that those powers are nothing but, what now? All the powers put together is manifestation of the Brahman only. We call it as what now? Viradishwaraha. Is it clear? Hiranyagarbheshwaraha. I use the term Ishwara so that you will remember it is a meditation. It's all Ishwara Dhyanam, Saguna Brahma, Upasanam, as I want to say here. So, Utkarshat. Utkarsha is one reason. Next is Ubhayatvam. Ubhayatvam means, Ubhayam means actually, being the middle. Being in the middle. It's the middleness. It's called Ubhayam. Ubhayatvam is what now? Having the status of being in the middle. Having the status of being in the middle is called Ubhayatvam. Ubhayam means middle. Now, Hiranyagarbha is in the middle of who? Virad and Antaryami Ishwaraha. Hiranyagarbheshwaraha is in the middle of Viradeshwara and Antaryamishwaraha. Or you can say, Taijasaha is in between Prajnaha and Vishwaha. Vitiya Padaha is in between Prathama Tritiya Padas. Is it clear? This is the thing. Similarly, in Akar, Omkara Shabde also, what now? Ukaraha is in between Akara and Makara. In between Makara, is it? In between the two letters. You cannot say, I want to put U first, then I want to put A later. No. You put A first, U first and U A later, it become what now? V. It will change, not O. Therefore, it only Ukaraha is the middle letter, middle sound in monosyllabic sound, Om. Therefore, Ukaraha being the middle and Hiranyagarbha also being the middle, Ukara is taken as Alambanam for Hiranyagarbha. These are the two reasons given in the mantra. So, Utkarshat, see, Hetvarte Panchami. The fifth case is used. Padichingale, Ramat, Balat, Krishnat, like that. Utkarshat, Ubayatvat, due to that reason of being in the middle, due to the superiority, is because of two features being common in both Ukara and Hiranyagarbha, Ukara is taken as an alambanam for Hiranyagarbha. Is it clear? Now, hereafter, the rest of the mantra presents the upasana phalam. But the palam we have to see next class, because I want to really elaborate on it. I want to more talk about Hiranyagarbha. Really, I should really see that you are with the Hiranyagarbha in the class itself. That class itself, I should take a mind to Virat. I should put your mind with the Hiranyagarbha. That is the teaching, isn't it? So I need more time for that. We'll do it in next class. Okay? And I want to tell you one secret. I'll tell you and finish before you all go. Upasana phalam, Hiranyagarbha upasana phalam is you can become the possessor of Brahma's wife Saraswati. What does it mean? Lakshmi will come and stay with you if you meditate on Vishnu, meditate on Hiranyagarbha. Saraswati will be your best friend. What does it mean now? That is when you can have a big visiting card or having 1008 degrees from 1008 universities. No, you can really, we can have that scholarship, okay? jnanam, everything. So we'll see next class. Om Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha
Harihi
Om.